Amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning. What a blessing that was. Again, what a blessing it is just being in church this morning and already have received such a blessing from the Lord through everything that's taken place here today. And now we're looking forward to the preaching of the Word of God. Our preacher this morning is Brother Jeff Copes. He is the Vice President of Heartland Baptist Bible College, a good friend. He's been here before preaching several times from this pulpit, and he always does a great job. His wife, Miss Pam Copes, and daughter are in the service as well. Pam, Victoria, won't you stand real quick there? And Miss Pam, she's a preacher too. And like my wife, a ladies speaker, that is. And she actually spoke at the ladies' conferences Friday and Saturday. And what a blessing that was to see how God worked in the midst of about 600 ladies, around 50 churches or so represented. And it was just a blessing to see how all that came together. And because of that, Brother Copes was here, and we got time to fellowship again. And he was gracious enough to agree to preach for us all day today. And so he did a great job this morning in Sunday school. And looking forward to what he has for us here in our worship service. So, Brother Jeff, why don't you come preach?
Thank you, preacher. Well, we're very, very glad to be here. And I'm excited. It's good to see again some of the Heartlanders, and I didn't know Scotty was going to be here today, and it's good to see him. And it's, you know, when Scotty Hopkins came on campus, now y'all know him, I'll just be honest with you, we had to hire extra security. When he graduated, we got to lay off a lot of guys, so, no, I'm teasing. We've enjoyed every one of the Lighthouse Baptist Church young people. And as I sit back and think of different churches that I go to, I don't want it to sound like I go to a lot of churches, but those that I get to go to, you observe, sometimes you'll see a church and you'll notice, boy, the women are very, very engaged and involved in the various aspects of the ministry. And you can see what a great group of ladies they have at that church. That's sometimes what you might say. And then at times you'll see a church where the choir has just a lot of men, and the men are engaged in everything going on. And now that I've been here now three times, this is what I've noticed. And then even for a couple of the fellowship meetings, this is what I would say about Lighthouse Baptist Church. Families are all engaged at this church. Matter of fact, if your family isn't, you're probably the exception, to be honest with you, from my observation point. Because I see grandparents and adult parents and with their children all now getting engaged and involved in various aspects of ministry. And up here singing with mom and in the choir and dad. And it's an awesome thing. I can't think of a healthier ingredient for a good church than to have the families all staying and after generation, getting involved, doing what their parents taught them. Amen? I think it's a biblical principle for that. I'm very, very glad to be here. Looking forward to tonight's message. As of right now, unless the Lord changes, we're all going to take a test tonight. Okay? Isn't that exciting? No? Well, just come back and see how taking a test can actually be real exciting. And I'll try to make it as exciting as I can. And it will be a lot of fun, I believe that. Now, I'm a little nervous. Can you tell that? I'm nervous when I preach, and nervous when I get in front of people, and nervous when I get near pulpits. So you got to help me this morning. Amen? I'm going to try to start us all off on page one, and then I want to kind of move us all together onto page two and kind of work ourselves through 14 pages of notes. How many of you want me to go really fast today? Amen? Well, listen, your amens contribute to the speed of my message, all right? Because if you just aren't... All right, rule number one, somebody monitors Brother Lonnie's amens, all right? No, I'm teasing. I want everyone. But the amens, you're telling me you're moving along with me, so I don't have to go back and get a couple of stragglers. And then, so that helps a guest preacher. It lets visitors know, boy, that point is very important. What was just said from the pulpit, it affirms it. And then if you look like you're not enjoying my message, I'm going to stop and start over on page one again, okay? No, I'm teasing. I won't do that. If you fall asleep, I'm going to come back and stand right by your pew and just start yelling and screaming, all right? I won't do that either. But I do want to try to bring us all to a place to where we can all look forward and then work backwards. I want us to all look forward today so that we can all work backwards. With that in mind, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and then turn to the Revelation in chapter 20. Two passages of Scripture will go as quick as you allow me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, and then find your place in, will be in Revelation chapter 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you got your place? You mind standing for just a reading of a few verses? Everybody has their place, say amen. Okay, sounds like the majority. If someone is needing a Bible, just help them out there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, here's really this letter written to believers. Let's look at really what I'll call a biblical description of two future days that are on the biblical calendar. First day is described this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, this is written to Christians. This is written to believers. Get that down. This context is written to believers. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. I'm going to insert this word. Why? That every one may receive the things done in his, what's that next word? Watch this now. According, this is very, very important. According to that he hath done, whether it be what?
Good.
Or? Okay. Verse 11. Knowing, speaking to the believers, therefore, referring to what was just said, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. Now, turn to Revelation. That's one day that we just read, a description of a day that is describing, really in detail, a day for believers that would be on the calendar. Let's look at a second day. It's a contrary day. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. Here's John writing unto us what God has told him to write. He has been banned from the world, and he is put on this island. It's a rock island called Patmos. So here he is getting out of the world, and he's getting some of the word revealed to him. What a thought right there. He got out of the world, and he's getting some of the word. Listen to this. He says this, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. The them is referring to not believers, unbelievers. This is a second day. This day describes in detail a day that is on the calendar for those that are not believers of Jesus Christ. He says, I saw the face and the heaven fled away and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead. He describes them in a very detailed way, this big group of people. I saw the dead, the small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their, what's that next word?
Works.
Let's just skip down to verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Would you just unite your heart with mine as we just pray? Heavenly Father, this is a place where most preachers and I as well would have worded something like this in the past. Lord, help me as I preach. But Lord, I'm not going to ask for you to help today. Because if I did, then I would have the pretense that I want to have something to do with the rest of the service. Dear God, I would rather have nothing to do with it. I would rather have you do everything. Lord, today, would you do in the hearts of your people what only you can do? And Lord, if there's someone here that has never trusted Christ as their Savior, Lord, would you give them the ability to trust and to have faith in you today? We ask it in the sweet, wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. I want to try to encourage, I have these good-looking young people down here. I want to try to encourage them this morning. And I want to try to encourage all those others that aren't so young. That's us. And I want to try to encourage you about the future. I want us to look forward this morning so that we can work backwards as well. I want to talk to you this morning about some future plans, about your calendar. Maybe let's just kind of work our way into a couple of questions here. What's a big day that you have on your calendar that you're preparing for? Maybe for some, it's saying, I want to get back into school, and I'm preparing to go back to school, and I just hope to pass all my classes this year. Can I get an amen? It's good to progress on to the next school year. Maybe that's a goal for some of them. And then for some of maybe the guys, I don't know, maybe the girls can relate to this too, but to get your driver's license. Can you guys remember how excited it was? Man, I'm getting my driver's license next week. Huh? I can remember this. I hope I pass the test. And thinking, boy, when that just happens, when that big day happens in my life, when I get my driver's license, everything is all set in life. I can remember that. I can remember, and you might even have this on your calendar, just to make the next sports team, to make the cut on the next football team or baseball team. That's a big day on the calendar for a young person. Then for some of the young ladies, it might be the big day is when he gives me the engagement ring. And you just wait for that, and you wait for that. That's a big day. At least I hope it's a big day. And then for some, it might be to graduate high school. I just want to graduate. I've got that day on my calendar. Or from college, can I get an amen? Yeah. And then what? Once you have those days and you start to work through that, as we maybe go through the congregation now, well, then what? Well, then you get a job. Well, then what? Then you want to get a better paying job. I mean, come on. There's nothing wrong with that. Well, then what? For us guys, then we want to buy a truck. Can I get an amen? And then what? Then you want to get a bigger truck. Well, then what? Then you want to get a faster truck. Sure. Yep. And then what? Well, then you want to get married. And then what? Then you want to have kids. And then what? And then sometimes you wonder why you did both. Well, then what? Then you buy a house. And then what? Then you buy a bigger one. And then what? Then you send your kids to college. Or you simply try to get them out of the house any other way you can. Sorry, Victoria. Then what? Then you get a job for 30 years. You work at the same place. Then what? Then you retire. Then what? Then you travel. Then what? Then you travel some more. Then what? Then you travel to see grandkids. Then what? Then you travel to see more grandkids. Then what? Then you get older. Then what? Then you get older. Then what? And older. And then what? Then you get a disease. And then what? And you hope to die really quickly. Then what? After death? Then we all share in this. We're all going to die. And then we're all going to stand before Christ. All of us. No matter where you are right now in the life cycle, we all have that day on all of our calendars. It is the most important day for all of us when we see Christ. One scholar said it this way, "Do you not think it would make a difference to you if you would really believe the thrilling consciousness that every act of the present time was actually registered by God?" Well, it is. Every act of the present is registered. It is being registered, and it will be revealed on that great day when you see Him. Now, let's talk a little bit about two very different days. The days that we read in 2 Corinthians and then in Revelation chapter 20. These are two very contrary days. One day will be glorious. The other will be horrific. One day will open the eons of eternity in heaven. The other will open the eons of eternity in hell. One will bring great reward, one will bring great punishment. These are two very different days that we just read about right out of Scripture. These days are on the calendars of a believer and an unbeliever. See, the judgment seat of Christ in 2 Corinthians that we read from is the RSVP for the people of faith. Those who've trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Those people that have trusted Christ as their Savior will be there at that day that we just read about. I didn't say those that are members of a Baptist church. I said those that have trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Amen? You can be in a whole bunch of churches. You can be listed on multiple membership roles. But if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you don't have a reservation at that judgment day. You have a reservation at the other judgment day. You see, you have to look at it in the perspective of what day for sure are you going to be at. And then the great white throne judgment out of Revelation chapter 20 is for the unbelievers. Those that have rejected Jesus Christ will be ordered to appear. We have to recognize that the most important future day for a person is one of these two judgment days. Then the most important issue that we all face right now as a group of people is making absolutely sure that we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and not before the great white throne judgment. You do not want to walk out of this building this morning wondering, what day will I appear at? You must make sure. Why is it important to make sure that you know for sure what day you're going to be at? Which judgment day do you have a reservation at? It's because we all must die. We must face the cold, unalterable, and hard fact that from the day we were born, we were fixed with one inescapable appointment. We all must die, like it or not, believe it or not, ready or not, we all must die. Sooner or later, the death angel is going to meet you and I, and he's going to reach through eternity's door and pull you right through. Nobody can escape this. But don't forget, on another great day in the past, on Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ took the penalty for our sins. He suffered the whole wrath of God in our place. And His word, words that He gave, makes it very clear that if we'll come to Him acknowledging our sins and accept what He did for us on the cross, then He will appropriate His work of redemption to us. God will cleanse, pardon, and save us if we'll come to Him the Bible way. But if you refuse or try to appease Him in some other way, then you'll be co-signed to the never-ending flames of hell. And when you die, listen to me closely, when you die, you either die a believer or a non-believer, and you are then that forever and ever and ever. You'll never change it after that day becomes a reality. Some of us need to stop living like we're never going to die. Amen. That's right. Now, for those of us that have put trust, faith in Jesus Christ, we believe that He's coming back soon. Can we get an amen? Amen. And He's coming back soon for His church, but the fact still is that many of His children really aren't ready for Him to come back. This teaching of His return and then the teaching that He then will serve as a judge has become a sleeper in the minds of many believers. While it plays a major role in our future, it's been placed to the back burner of our minds. That's where Satan wants it, in the back burner of our minds. This morning I'm going to attempt to bring it to the front. Now for the believer, we've got to consider the judgment seat of Christ. Judgment seat of Christ is the place where every Christian will one day stand before Christ. Our salvation is our ticket to this event. We'll be there because of what Christ did for us when He saved us. No one who has failed to trust Christ will be present at this day. This is the day for the people of faith. The judgment day is an evaluation day. It's the judgment seat of Christ for the people of faith, where there'll be an evaluation time. It's the judgment seat of Christ is like a great job performance evaluation. But it's more significant than any job performance you've ever had. You see, when you get job performance at your workplace, your supervisor might say, well, let's look at those 6 goals that we gave you from last year. You know, look at these last year, and you did this goal, let's check it off, and this goal, let's check it off. But you didn't get these 3, so let's just kind of take these 3 that you didn't really get this year, you didn't really accomplish this year, let's just put them onto next year's goal sheet. Let's give it another try. Let's have another run at it, he or she says to you. But when this evaluation comes, there's no let's have another run at it. It's over. It's the final performance evaluation of your whole life. And Jesus is going to be the judge and the evaluator who appraises everything you've done for him. And it's not like he would not tell us what he's going to be evaluating. It's kind of unfair, wouldn't it be, that if a supervisor told you, I'm going to be evaluating you next year, and they don't tell you what they want you to accomplish in that year. Even your boss would tell you, this is what I want you to accomplish. That's just fair. Even in the corporate world, God's already revealed to us right here what he's going to be judging us on. His word and how we've been obedient to his word. He's going to evaluate it, judge it, and appraise it. Yeah, and it's going to be the final evaluation. Matthew Henry said this, it ought to be the business of every day to prepare for the last day. One scholar said it this way, there ought to be 2 days on everybody's calendar, today and then that day. Here's an illustration. Listen to the story of a contractor who took shortcuts while preparing to build a house for a dear friend. His dear friend was a millionaire, a multimillionaire. And the multimillionaire said to his friend, who was a contractor, I want you to build me this huge mansion. Okay. So they signed a contract, and the contractor supposedly was going to build this rich, lovely home for his friend. But while building the house, the contractor decided to throw his friendship, his relationship to the wind with the millionaire, and just decided to cut some corners, save some money. So he started to put some cheap material into the building project, even at the beginning, at the foundation level, at the footer level, thinking that will never show up, but for a long, long time. He finished the home. It was a big, beautiful, imposing home, but it was so unsafe, and the builder knew it. He handed the keys to his multi-millionaire friend, said, here's the keys to your brand new home. And then his dear friend said, here, I want to give you a gift to you and your family with one stipulation. I want to gift you back this house only under the condition that you and your family live in it for the rest of your lives. Can you imagine the disappointed surprise of that builder? He inherited the fruit of his own unfaithfulness. His own shortcuts cost him. Actually, by robbing his rich friend, he robbed himself. Sometimes that's kind of true of us. If our present service for the Lord is faulty, insincere, we're not only robbing the Lord, but we're robbing ourselves of rewards. Remember, the discerning fire of the judge by Jesus Christ will test, verify all that we do. Since Jesus will discern what kind of work our lives have produced, we need not worry about condemnation. He knows whether we've trusted him as our Savior, but we should be concerned about loss, because we can cheat ourselves out of much reward, especially if we're not careful and we start to take some shortcuts. Not only is this a time of evaluation, but it's a time of really rewards, where rewards are given, and these rewards will be eternal. It's where the saints' lives are evaluated. It's where the service that we've done for the Lord is appraised, when he deems something acceptable or not, where he deems something to be very much pleasing to him, when he might possibly say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, but it's not a guarantee. It's where the determination will be made of what you will enjoy in way of reward for eternity. This is a day when you will find out what type of reward you are going to enjoy in heaven forever. This is a day that's going to be revealed. It's quite an evaluation day. Now you see, in 2005, I was asked to preach at a young adult conference, and I would have been 45 at that point, and the Lord led me to this passage and started to develop a message. And I started to realize at the age of 45 that I was doing a whole lot for the Lord. Even at Heartland, I was just, can I say this, busy. I was busy. And then God started to point this passage out to me and said, who are you busy for? I mean, I got a boss. Every one of us have authority. Who are you doing it for, Jeff? God says. I remember a conversation. I'm doing it for you, God. I remember the Lord saying, really? So at the age of 45, and if you all could get this at your age, I started to refocus. Amen. I started to make some adjustments so that what I would do then from 45 on would be clearly with the right focus in mind. At the age of 45, even in ministry, I was taking some shortcuts. Being busy, getting a lot done, but not necessarily with the right focus. Right now, you all are facing a great time in the history of this church, in the sense there's so much ahead for Lighthouse Baptist Church. It's phenomenal. And I would behoove you, just as a guest preacher, as a brother and sister, that maybe some need to start to make sure that their service is motivated, because it's going to be judged by the one that we're supposed to be doing it all for Him. Amen. See, you cannot be rewarded for that which does not meet criteria of a pure motive. Pure motive for our service for God is simply this: to glorify God. Amen. See, our lifestyle or the way we live must match our beliefs. See, just as we start to think about this, we must make sure that our lifestyle matches our beliefs. Now, let me just try to conclude this, and let me remind you as I start to conclude this. Now, you might say, what does that mean? You start to conclude this. That means I'm getting close to the conclusion. Let me remind you of a couple of questions. What big days are you preparing for? Pass your class? Pass this year? Get an engagement ring? Get a spouse? Get a job? Get a house? Have kids? Get rid of kids? Get out of debt? Become debt-free? Have kids and travel and get more travel? And then you get a disease and then you die. And then if you're saved, then you'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And that is the most important day on your calendar, brother and sister in Christ. But are you really ready? I know you may be ready to go to heaven, but are you really ready to have your whole life that will be done, evaluated, judged by Jesus? Well, now what? Well, now let's look forward and let's work backwards. Why? Because one day if you're saved, you're going to see Christ face to face at the judgment seat of Christ. You see, now if we look forward and work backwards, see, now if you're just looking forward to death, if you've been given some type of information lately that the next page in your life is death, maybe you can start to realize that you can actually look forward to working through this phase of your life, even if it's been called terminal. If you look beyond that, and while you're working through that phase of your life, if you look beyond death and do some preparation now for that great day when you'll see Jesus Christ face to face. So even if you've been given a diagnosis lately that death is imminent and it's right around the corner, but if you can go through that and prepare for the great day that you're going to see Jesus pretty soon, you can actually have a very good time preparing even while facing death for the great day. You can be in retirement. You might say, I've been bored with retirement. But you don't have to be bored with retirement, because while you're working through your retirement days, if you look beyond retirement days, if you look to the day when you're going to see Christ, and if you now prepare now for that great day, you can actually enjoy your retirement more than you ever expected. And it has no relationship to your 401k value or any type of investment. If you can prepare now for that great day, you can enjoy your retirement greater than you ever expected. You can be in your career today and you might be flat out bored every Monday, but you can enjoy your career if you start to prepare for that great day. If you look forward to it and come back to now and prepare for that great day, even while you're laboring Monday after Monday, week after week, if you do some preparation for the great day when you'll see Jesus Christ face to face, you can enjoy a boring class if you start to look beyond graduation to the great day when you'll see Jesus Christ face to face. You can look forward to that great day even if your marriage is on the rocks. if you work through that and prepare for that great day. You can look forward to that great day even while you hold a baby that struggles for life. If you, while you're doing that, look beyond that and work backwards to today and focus. One old Baptist preacher said this. Can you imagine the day when your life is over? When you don't have a chance to witness for Jesus Christ anymore? It's closed. Life done. And Jesus looks over. Imagine this. All of the way you've come. And all you've done. And for some, that's a long period of time. And for some, probably many here, there's heaps and heaps, piles and piles of service, of things that have been done, even here, for all those years. But can you imagine the thought when Jesus looks back over all of that and says, I'm sorry. I can't reward you for all of that. There was too much of self in that. What a waste that would be. And then maybe Jesus says, but there. See that one thing, that little thing back there that you thought nobody noticed, that you thought you failed at, you thought you blundered that, you thought your testimony was ridiculous back there. But I watched. I watched when you tried to do this little thing for me. And you thought nobody noticed it. And God said, I did. And I saw why you did it. You did it for me. And then he says, here. And he rewards you for that little thing that you've even forgotten about. And you get to enjoy that reward just for that little thing that you've forgotten about because your heart and motive was pure. Can you imagine now if all of us as a group would stop, look forward, and work backwards to, are you ready? Our iPhones. Our Android phones, our iPads, our academic calendars, our personal calendars, our social calendars, our fitness calendar, our relationship with our spouse, our retirement, our faith promise giving, our soul winning efforts, our participation or non-participation of all the ministries at Lighthouse. We all stopped like I did at the age of 45 and just started letting God evaluate now. Because when I get to that day, I want it to be a real, real good day. And when you get to that day, buddy, it's too late to make it a good day then. It's done. I look at a young man like him and I sit back and I look at some of these young people and think, man, Brother Ted, if they could get it, and if young couples could get it. But wait a minute, I was 45 and I got it. I would say this whole crowd could get it. If we stopped looking here and stopped doing things. This may not be you, but stopped serving for man and started serving Christ. Wow. Now this old man, now I'm half 50 plus one, 51. All that I'm trying to do is this. Stay focused.